From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The State Department is telling Americans to take safety precautions when traveling in Europe. The unusually broad travel alert cites the possibility of terrorist attacks on what it called public transportation systems and other tourist infrastructure. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York says this is not based on information about any specific threat.
It is an alert, not a warning. An alert means be careful when you go, but they are not advising you not to go.
American tourist James O'Connell, who is catching a flight in Paris today, says he sees no need to change his travel plans.
I'm very happy to be here in France, and I think that we're very safe, and I trust the French government to keep us safe.
And businessman Mark Salerno agreed and said he's not worried.
I'll just keep my eyes open and hopefully things will work out.
The U.S. joins Britain and Japan in calling for heightened vigilance by travelers in Europe. This year's Nobel Prize for Physiology or Medicine goes to a British scientist who, along with a co-researcher, developed in vitro fertilization. NPR's John Hamilton says the winner is 85-year-old Robert Edwards, now a professor emeritus at Cambridge University.
The end product of what he did was a little baby named Louise Joy Brown, who was born in 1978. She was, of course, the world's first so-called test tube baby, and literally millions more test tube babies have been born since then. What led up to that was that Edwards worked in the lab and collaborated with a gynecologist named Patrick Steptoe, and together they figured out how to remove an egg from a woman's body, fertilize it in a dish in the lab, and then implant that fertilized egg back into a woman's uterus.
So, John, what's been the impact of Edwards' IVF research?
About 1-2% of all births each year in the U.S. and other developed countries are a result of IVF developed by Edwards.
NPR's John Hamilton in Washington. The Taliban are claiming responsibility for a pre-dawn attack in Pakistan that set fire to about 20 tanker trucks carrying fuel to U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan. It was the third such attack in as many days. NATO's chief is expressing regret today for the deaths of three Pakistani soldiers killed in a NATO airstrike last week. Those deaths prompted Pakistan to shut down a key NATO border crossing into Afghanistan. Former President Jimmy Carter and wife Rosalynn are helping Habitat for Humanity volunteers build and repair homes in the nation's capital today. Mr. Carter says he's back up to full speed after spending a couple of days last week in a hospital in Cleveland.
I feel fine. I only had one day of intensive hospital care, and I've been out working ever since.
The former president told CBS's Early Show he's fully recovered from the stomach virus that he had. Stock prices have opened nearly unchanged on Wall Street. Investors looking at a slew of economic data out this week, including pending home sales. Signed contracts to buy homes rose 4.3% in August, but remained 20% below the pace of a year ago. This is NPR News from Washington. The Federal Reserve has a new vice chairman, and Steve Beckner of Market News International reports that could make a difference in monetary policy.
San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank President Janet Yellen has been sworn in as vice chair of the Fed Board of Governors by Chairman Ben Bernanke. She had been nominated by President Obama back in April. Also sworn in was another Obama appointee, Sarah Bloom Raskin. Senate confirmation of a third Fed nominee, Peter Diamond, continues to be delayed. But the arrival of Yellen could prove important as Fed policymakers ponder whether to provide more monetary stimulus through so-called quantitative easing, purchases of bonds to push down long-term interest rates. Short-term rates are already near zero. The respected Yellen, who did not have a say on policy as San Francisco Fed chief, is believed by Fed watchers to be an almost sure vote for such action. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner.
A new study finds that people who work on their laptops with the computer on their laps for long periods of time could suffer from what's being called toasted skin syndrome. Dr. Jane Grant Kells is chairman of dermatology at the University of Connecticut Health Center.
The chronic heat causes changes in the epidermis, the top layer of the skin, as well as in the very superficial dermis and blood vessels. And those changes make those areas of skin more prone to the future development of skin cancer.
Grant Kells says laptop users should place a pad under the laptop or use a lap desk to shield themselves from the heat. The research is published in the journal Pediatrics. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.